Hey folks, here at OS Reviews, you're watching our video review of the Ficom Passion 660. The smartphone actually wins our Editor's Choice Award for the month of August. I think it's a perfect balance between usability, performance, and also style. It sells for roughly 300 euros, and it's the current flagship for Ficom, which is a manufacturer that really just started showing up in Europe as well as here in the States recently, and the Germany branch was only launched in 2010, so they are pretty new at this game. The Passion 660 is their flagship at the moment, and so it's a little bit on the pricier side of the spectrum, as you would expect. However, it is a unlocked GSM World phone with two SIM card support. There's also a 13 megapixel autofocus enabled camera in the back with an LED flash. It's produced by Sony. The front also features a 5 megapixel sensor for selfies, and in terms of specs, it certainly is very competitive with the current offerings. For instance, there is a Snapdragon 615 processor underneath the hood, which is an octa-core chipset clocked at 1.5 gigahertz. There's 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of built-in flash storage, expandable via a micro SD card slot to 64 gigabytes more, and there's also a 5-inch full HD 1080p display, which is bright, vibrant, and saturated. And the most important thing here is that the display is ultra-sensitive, just like on most Samsung and LG smartphones. It's a juxtaposition with most Chinese phones I've tried in the past, which offered a very unresponsive experience. This one is lucid, easy to touch, and it offers a snappy experience overall. As far as build is concerned, the Passion 660 is also unique since it crafts a Gorilla Glass 3 screen on the very front and also packs a polycarbonate finish, which means that the battery itself is actually not removable. It uses a unibody design with a polycarbonate plastic extending from the back all the way to the front. And so in the hand, it feels incredibly slim as well as lightweight. In fact, this is definitely one of the most lightweight phones I've tested with a 5-inch display. It weighs in at only around 127 grams or so, which is lighter than the Samsung Galaxy S3, which is already known as a very plasticky phone, so this one is even lighter. However, it still feels pretty substantial in the hands thanks to the usage of metal bands on the sides, which creates a sense of confidence when you're using it. On the very back, you have access to the Ficom logo in addition to a speaker, which is stereo. With that being said, I would have preferred if these speakers themselves could have been positioned on the front. However, they can get pretty loud, and they are also pretty rich and dynamic. Over here, we have one of the SIM card slots opened up. This is a micro SIM card slot, and the second one is where things get interesting. You can place in a nano SIM card for a second GSM SIM experience. It supports 4G LTE as well. You can also use it to place in a micro SD card. However, you cannot put in both at the same time, so it's kind of an interesting twist I haven't seen before. There's also a power on-off switch, which is tactile, responsive, and easy to press. On the other side, you have access to the volume rocker. When it comes to the UI, Ficom has added what they call the Expert Series on top of Android 4.4.4, and so that's actually a KitKat as opposed to Lollipop. However, the manufacturer has promised that the update is coming soon. Still, it's a little bit disappointing to see a phone, at least here in late 2015, without Lollipop right out of the box. With that being said, things are very smooth, and I think that Expert UI is an interesting mashup between some Chinese UI, such as the Mi UI on Xiaomi's phones, as well as other vanilla builds of Android. I say this because you still have the stock drawer as far as going through your applications and your widgets, but at the same time, you can add an infinite amount of home screens. In addition, the applications have been tweaked to look almost like iOS applications, so it's an interesting mashup between the two, and certainly is very visually compelling. On the top, you have access to a drag-down notification drawer, and you can turn all the features on and off, including the Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth 4.0. There's also an interesting feature called pedometer, so there is an extra sensor on board that accurately measures your step movements, your calories burned, and at what time you actually were using it. It's actually a separate little icon that pops up on the sides of the display, and you can tap on it to see how many steps you've run out of a possible goal, and tapping on the sensor there shows you the calories burned. Tapping on the man running in the top right-hand corner gives you a chart view of time you were most active. So that's an interesting feature that we haven't really seen before. Otherwise here, there are a few other widgets and wallpapers that you can customize through. I can tap on here to, of course, go through those with a lot of ease, and you can see that, again, Ficom has done a lot of work in this department making things relatively attractive for experienced users in addition to first-time smartphone users. Now, the display here is very bright and vibrant. Now, colors aren't as popping as on some AMOLED screens with a higher contrast rate. With that being said, this 1080p HD screen is extremely high in terms of density, and if you look really closely, you can't even tell the pixels apart. And for the price point, I think this is one of the better displays I've seen. It's very sensitive, it's lucid, it's easy to use, and easy on the eyes with wide viewing angles. Checking out some of the preloaded apps next, you can see that there are a few extras I didn't really expect. Indeed, you have access to the regular Play Store, but Ficom has actually deleted the native Gmail client in addition to YouTube. I had to download that by myself. It takes only a few seconds to complete, but it's still an interesting omission. Otherwise, here there is a barometer that you can use to measure a height of a building or a particular environment. This is an interesting feature to have. It measures the pressure, and it does a relatively accurate job of that. So let's say I want to measure the height of a particular location or a building. You have to get at least 1 meter, but basically I click once to get an air pressure, and then if I go upwards by maybe a meter, tap on it again, it measures a second pressure measurement, so you can see there's a difference there, and you can calculate the height. In this instance, there isn't a difference that's greater than 1 meter, so it can't really measure that too accurately, but overall it definitely works, and it's an interesting feature that, again, I haven't really seen before. Some other features on here, there is a compass. It tells you kind of to wave the phone around just to make sure there isn't any magnetic interference in the air, so it gets a more accurate measurement. There is a vibrational sensor, and after a few seconds, you can get a pretty good compass working on here as well. So those are all built-in apps that the manufacturer has opted for. Taking a look at the calendar, a pretty basic no-frills experience can be found. And the same can be said about the dedicated hardware controls on the bottom of the phone. You have access to the home key, a back key, as well as a menu key, and these are capacitive and pretty sensitive. One thing that is lacking, however, is a backlight. So you can't really see these under a darker environment, which is a bit unfortunate, although they are very sensitive and easy to press. And despite the addition of some hardware keys, you can still tell that the bezels on this phone are relatively slim and reasonable. Checking out some other details on here and looking at the camera next, this is a 13 megapixel sensor. Again, it's produced by Sony, so there's not too many surprises as far as functionality and performance are considered. It works nicely, shutter speeds are respectable, and detail work is definitely present. If you focus up close, it still does a decent job of that, so I can tap on it once to take the image, and it comes out pretty sharp and nice looking. However, we found that saturation sometimes was a little bit off, especially under darker environments, so if you use it at night, it could be a little bit better, but the flash certainly enhances any low light situations. One thing that is lacking in the camera app, however, would be a beauty face mode in addition to an HDR mode and a RAW mode, which are all things that I've seen in other similar competitors in the past by LG and Samsung. So that's something I was looking for and actually couldn't find. The actual camera application for recording video also works decently. You can record up to 1080p, so a 4K update is coming soon with Lollipop, but it's not available at the moment, even though it works decently. The front-facing 5-megapixel camera is a great selfie camera. You can use it even in low-light situations, and colors are balanced as well as accurate. It's great for selfies as well as for video chatting using Skype or WeChat. Other additions include a dedicated FM radio, although a headphone has to be plugged in first in order for a reception to be reached. There's also the aforementioned Play Store in addition to a portable hotspot that transforms the smartphone into a Wi-Fi hotspot for up to 5 other devices that you might have, a dedicated MP3 player with a slightly tweaked UI that works pretty nicely. There's also settings that you can look through, Wi-Fi direct connections, a video player, a sound recorder, and so on and so forth. Speaking of, the microphone quality on here is pretty good, however, there is a slight amount of tinniness in the background, so when I was calling someone, they could tell that I was speaking on a cell phone as opposed to a home phone. I've seen better quality on phones like the Oppo Find 7, however, the Find 7 is also more expensive, so the microphone quality overall is decent. There is a bit of noise cancellation as well, so you can use it in noisier environments. Going to settings, we can obviously tell that things have been tweaked by the manufacturer, especially if we go to About Phone and see that Expert series pop up. Again, we have Android 4.4.4, and the processor underneath the hood does a surprisingly good job of keeping up with anything you might want to throw at it. I found that navigating through the UI had no issues at all, playing back intensive games, browsing the web, and multitasking, everything was fluid, responsive, and smooth. And that's why, again, we awarded this phone with our Editor's Choice Award. Everything is pretty much expected, and you know, no matter what you throw at it, it handles it with grace, and after a full day of usage, you can still have roughly 50% of the battery left, which is relatively impressive. Again, with the 5-inch form factor, it certainly drains less power than a 5.5-inch or 6-inch phone. We found that we oftentimes only had to charge this phone after 2 to 3 days of usage, which is great. Again, this is 4G LTE supported, so you can have a pretty good experience as far as browsing the web is concerned. The browser is snappy and supports flash elements out of the box. Things load pretty quickly as far as Wi-Fi connection is concerned, and videos can be played back directly. Again, Pinch to Zoom is a smooth and responsive as well as enjoyable experience on this particular phone. Now, there are a few concerns that some people did have going into just looking at this phone in general, and that would be the Snapdragon 615 processor, which was noted before as having some overheating issues. I think that on this model, it doesn't really come across too heavily, unless you're doing a lot of multitasking and heavy gameplay, but in general, it still remained fairly cool. There's also some interesting gestures that you can play around with on the Passion 660. For example, in the gallery, you can use a front-facing camera to wave your hands to skip to the next image automatically. It works pretty well, and it's a fun feature to play around with. As you can see here, the camera does a very good job of capturing your images using landscape shots as well as up close using macro shots. So at the end of the day, there's a lot to like about the Passion 660, and that I think that it's a decent balance between both performance as well as value for the money. And I think that 5 inches is the perfect screen size as well for most people. It's not too large where it becomes unyieldy, and the feel of the unibody build is incredibly solid and reassuring. So to learn more information about the Ficom Passion 660, which won our Editor's Choice Award for the month of August, be sure to read our full written review. This has been our video. Thanks for watching. Here are OS Reviews.